Thank you, Pedro. You gonna run tomorrow?
How we run? You gonna run tomorrow morning?
5:30.
Sunday. I'm leaving tomorrow at 10. I'll run with you tomorrow morning.
Okay, babe.
Running with Sugar Ray Leonard in 1989, of course, that set up the Thomas Hearns fight. Of course, he and I trained together for about 10 days down there in South Florida, West Palm Beach, to be exact. I think it was like some big golf course, this big lofty golf course. All these rich dudes around us. Of course, it was this group of black fighters. Ray Leonard, the camp, of course, led by Top Cat Mike Turner, the Washington, D.C. attorney. But for the most part, Ollie Dunlop was there. I mean, it was like Ray's home away from home for about a month and a half down there, of course, training for Tommy Hearns. And, of course, he had his soon-to-be wife, Bernadette, was there. They weren't married yet. Ray was still married to Juanita, so I guess there was a little fooling around going on there. But the bottom line is Ray Leonard was there with his wife, and he ended up marrying her. They've had a couple of kids. The bottom line is they've had them together now, God, since 1987. More power to them. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live, Worldwide. Ray Charles Leonard. He's 1A. You know, people knock him, but the bottom line is you may not like his attitude, but you cannot say that he didn't throw some of the best shots in the entire history of boxing. In fact, I'm going to go out on a limb right now, and I say that he would have handily beat Sugar Ray Robinson. He would have beaten Sugar Ray Robinson and beat him as a welterweight. That's considered the best welterweight of all time. Ray Robinson, well, not really. I think Ray Leonard is. And, of course, had Tommy Hearns went out there and fought the fight he was supposed to fight against Ray Leonard, he would be the greatest welterweight of all time, but he choked. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. We take it to the Ring Talk phone lines. Of course, a guy that doesn't choke, boxing's PhD, Socrates Palmer. Sock, how are you today, sir?
I'm doing great, brother. How's everything with yourself?
Pretty good. Double S, Shakur Stevenson in action tonight. What does he bring to the dance?
Well, he is the heir apparent. You know, he is, he has the number one company behind him, Top Rank. He's got the Olympic background, winning the silver medal in 2016. He has looked really impressive against opposition that he's kind of has supposed to have looked impressive against. He's having a somewhat of a step up tonight against a fighter from the low-key boxing hotbed of Namibia. You know, they've had a couple of good fighters recently, Harry Simon and the gentleman who I'm going to butcher his name that lost to Terrence Crawford in Kambu, the 140-pound champ.
You had to reach on that one.
Yeah. But it should be a good step-up test for Shakur Stevenson, who inside the ring has tremendous acumen. Outside the ring, not so much. But he's
a street kid. But I sort of look at him as like a dopey street kid. And what I mean by a dopey street kid is that, and I don't mean he's not dope. He's just not the brightest bulb on the Christmas tree.
You know what I think Shakur Stevenson is, and I don't know him, so I'm gonna assume, and we all know what happens when you assume. But let's face it, Shakur Stevenson is an elite level athlete, right? And he's kind of like the guy that knew the street guys and was around the street element, but really wasn't about that life. That's what Shakur Stevenson is. And he needs to grow up. I don't know if you caught the press conference. He says, "I'm not losing to a cop. This is for the culture."
Oh.
You know, so, yeah. And I'm thinking, someone at Top Rank needs to sit down with this young man and say, that's a really good way of alienating a fan base that will spend money to see you fight. The culture will not. That's number one. And what does that mean? Like is this fight for the hood? Like, I'm going to whip up a cop? I mean, it's like you're disparaging your opposition. When Top Rank and your managers are going to try to sell us the fact that you're in a credible fight, and you're dogging the guy basically as just a part-time fighter.
Okay.
I mean, it's just stupid, you know. But inside the ring, the kid is a beast and has tremendous potential.
I remember, I can't find the article, but a guy from the Reno Gazette said I was guilty of police brutality. And he was talking about me whooping up on guys in the ring. I went up to Carson City and I went up to Carson City and I smoked these guys. I mean, there was three guys and went through three guys in 2 days. just went through them, mortared them. None of them went to distance. Okay, I think one of them went into the second round. That was about it. And the guy from the Reno Gazette, a big chunky guy. I think his name was Jim Jenkins. He goes, you know, you are guilty of police brutality. And I said, oh, anyway, yeah, that was a great weekend, with no doubt about that. Now, Shakur Stevenson in action, of course, that's ESPN tonight. Clarissa Shields, you know, I'm not one of her biggest fans. And Amanda Serrano, of course, the other female fighter is considered one of the, those two are considered maybe the two best pound for pound. Maybe Katie, maybe a couple of guys from, ladies from the UK can dispute that. But the bottom line is they both won MMA matches last night. What does that mean?
You know what? What does it mean is that they are really good athletes, and deep down, you know, they are fighters at the end of the day. I am in the same boat with you. I'm not a fan of Clarissa Shields. You know, her mouth is really like, you know, extra a lot of times, but I got to give her props. You know, she fought someone who was there for her to lose, but she was put in that first round in a bad situation. And, you know, she clearly showed that she's been in training. She's in a good camp. I believe she works out with the girl from New Mexico. Oh, boy. My amnesia's kicking in. But anyway, you could tell she's...
Holly Holm?
MMA career. Holly Holmes, yes. Thank you, sir, for the save. You can tell that she's taking this serious. And she is a great athlete, and she showed a lot of heart in that fight. And she took care of business. And hopefully, I'm sure that the ultimate goal for her is to debut on UFC. Dana White needs stars. And Amanda Nunes needs a dance partner. So that could be a really mega fight maybe next year.
You know, he doesn't pay them. He pimps them. And I don't want, you know, and people, you know, now listen, I understand that people should have the opportunity to do whatever they want to do, and I'm down with that. But, you know, when you get kicked in the head and elbowed in the head and things like that, the residual effects are probably a little bit more than somebody hitting you with an 8-ounce padded or a 10-ounce padded glove. That's just common sense is going to tell you that, okay? So, these people are put in death matches after death match, and Dana White pays them a few bucks. And by the time, there's no longevity. I mean, the longest heavyweight title run was 3 title defenses by one champion. Think about that. They've been in action since 1993. The most a heavyweight champion can defend his title was 3 times. In other words, longevity ain't in the cards.
Yeah, I mean, Dana White kind of follows the NFL's model that the sport is the star. The event is the star. And the athletes that are taking part in this brutality that we are all guilty of having some sort of pleasure watching, they're secondary, you know. So that's why they dress it up with the music, you know, the hot ring card girls, the rambunctious announcers like Joe Rogan, you know, and the athletes, the action that happens in the ring is kind of secondary. That's why, you know, it's like they suppress their stars. Although, is it ironic that their biggest stars happen to be white? Conor McGregor, who's a multimillionaire, Ronda Rousey, and before that, Brock Lesnar. You know, so I think that's something to do with it as well. You know, but Dana White is a criminal for the way he pays his top guys. John Bone Jones has never made a $1 million payday.
Ooh,
that's crazy.
Ooh, and you know, and I've. Compare this to my time as a policeman in San Francisco, having known guys that have stables of women on the street. I mean, you come in contact with these guys. If they were paying them 8 to 10 cents on a dollar, okay, those girls would be on the first bus to Denver.
Yeah, I mean, there's not a union. It's not a union, you know. But then again, Dana doesn't have any competition. You know, if there was an organization with as much money as Dana has behind him and a major network, things would change, you know. I mean, I know Bellator is around, but they get the guys once they're past their prime, or they have the guys cut their teeth there, and then they move on, you know. So that's another big factor as well.
You know what's funny? Scott Coker runs Bellator, and they've got the MTV. They used to have the MTV TV type of money backing them up, so the money was there. They can never deliver the product. I mean, and I always wanted to, like, choke Scott, because I've been around him a few times, and it's like common sense. You do certain things. He seemed to do the opposite every time. When it came time to get something to write, he got it wrong.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, someone like Dana White, he kind of reminds me of like Vince McMahon in a sense, you know, in the sorts, you know, the guy's passionate, you know, he is his product 24/7. You know, he is dedicated, and he has built a brand. You know, I mean, UFC before him was basically another step up from the tough man competitions, you know, and he put some organization to it. And they are what they are, the top dog in MMA. Just wish the guys got paid better.
Oscar De La Hoya talking about a comeback, weighing somewhere around 165 pounds, of course. Hasn't done any cocaine maybe since yesterday or the day before yesterday. So I guess he's in training. Bottom line is we'll talk about that and more when WBC Boxing TV and Ring Talk Live Worldwide returns. You are tuned to the Sports Byline Broadcast Network, Twitch.tv, the Sports Byline USA channel, of course, 1,000 other internet platforms. This is Ring Talk Live Worldwide and WBC Boxing TV.
Ring Talk Live Worldwide, brought to you by the WBC with Pedro Fernandez. Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez, brought to you by the WBC, the World Boxing Council, right here on Sports Byline.
Hey, Pedro, how you doing? And good evening to everybody out there listening to the show.
My man, Genaro Hernandez. We will talk about him in depth in about 40 minutes past the hour when I bring in his brother, Rudy Hernandez. Of course, Genaro passed away this week, I think 8 years ago. Been a long time, so we'll hear from Genaro. His last clip, 47 hours before he passed away, he appeared on Ring Talk Live Worldwide, WBC Boxing TV. That was probably one of the toughest interviews I've ever done in my life. I was crying on the air. It wasn't pretty, but the bottom line is it had to be done. I miss him. He was the classiest man. Nobody has ever said anything bad about Genaro Hernandez. Nobody has ever, I mean, not even the guys that fought him. I mean, that's how gentlemanlike he was, but the straight up, we lost a good guy when Genaro checked out. Of course, that was some rare form of cancer 8 years ago. And Rudy Hernandez will be here at 40 minutes past the hour. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Of course, on the line from the Bronx, the Bronx bomber himself, Socrates Palmer, boxing's PhD. Oscar De La Hoya, cocaine, tough guy that wears ladies' panties, wants to come back and fight Canelo Alvarez. How can you comment on that?
Wow. You know what? Someone needs to speak to Oscar and say, I'm not against you coming back and fighting. But Canelo Alvarez may be a little bit too much, you know, at this stage in your life. You know, the only thing bigger than Oscar's accomplishments are his ego. I don't think it's for the money, although, you know, for rich people, we can never have enough. And obviously there is a grudge between him and Canelo. But, you know, there's a difference between being brave and stupid. And I don't think that a fight with Canelo Alvarez is a good idea for Oscar or a good idea for Canelo. It's a no win. I mean, what does Canelo Alvarez gain by beating up a fighter who's been shot? You know, Manny Pacquiao showed that, you know, what, about 10 years ago? I mean, it's not worth it on either end. I'm not against Oscar making a comeback against someone somewhat at his level, but I don't think anyone wants to see Oscar get beat up.
Somebody shot me a text here. Instead of trunks, should he wear panties? And what color should they be?
Ouch.
My God, I can't wear their brutal.
So someone will make them. Yeah, well, my boy Chop Chop Corley used to wear. Hey, Chop Chop Corley used to wear panties. So I don't.
Yeah. Yes. Now you know what? I think we'd be better off just staying away from that and butt plugs and all that kind of good stuff just for the moment. Yeah. Hey, real quick on a different note, I saw an interview with Greg the Hammer Valentine. You know, my big kayfabe guy. And I saw an interview with Greg Valentine this week on YouTube. It's been cut in the last couple of weeks. They sliced into about like 1,000 different pieces. But I don't think anybody's more real than Greg. I don't know if you get a chance to see him ever. But as far as talking the talk, he was Mr. Kayfabe, and he felt you should stay true to the game. He didn't like taking jobs from people, and he explained when he wouldn't do a job. I mean, he explained the whole business there in about 20 minutes.
Well, he's a second-generation wrestler, you know, and back then it was quote-unquote real, you know, and guys took their profession serious. And Greg the Hammer Valentine, he's great on interviews, you know, big cannabis advocate. You could tell he's very mellow during the interviews. And
is that why you know, he can't remember nothing?
It seems that way.
I saw him buzz out a couple times. And, doing the same thing myself, I haven't got no problem. Okay, Shakur Stevens is the winner tonight. Let's talk about the build-up now for Wilder and Fury, the third fight. How do you build that fight after the second fight was so dominating, so one-sided in the first fight? You know, it was dominating and one-sided too, except for a couple of punches.
You know, it's a buildable fight because that the factor that Deontay Wilder has, the X factor, which is his knockout power, and it's a rematch that really is unnecessary. We clearly know who got the better of the two fights. But that's why contracts are drawn up. The arbiter said, hey, you know, you got to abide by this. Deontay Wilder is still holding on to his conspiracy theory about the gloves. So let's settle it once and for all. Can Deontay Wilder catch lightning in the bottle? It's possible. But Tyson Fury is, I think, at this point, really laser focused. And I think he's going to do a number on Deontay Wilder.
Wilder also claimed that Mark Breland, the 1984 Olympic gold medalist at welterweight, the guy was like basically unbeaten as an amateur. I mean, he lost that one fight. I think he beat the guy in the rematch. But the bottom line is Mark was untouchable. I mean, Mark was really a good guy. And he showed me class throughout his entire life and his career. I've known him since 84. And I don't remember him swearing. I don't remember him drinking. I don't remember him smoking any weed. I mean, he was just like the cleanest guy I've ever come in contact with in my life. So in my life, as far as maybe in boxing. So when Deontay Wilder said that he threw Valiums in his drinking water in between rounds and he drugged him, you know, during the fight. I mean, maybe Mark can't slap him, but I would have sued him.
You stole the words out of my mouth. Mark Breland is a gentleman. He is one of those guys in New York that's kind of like just everyone likes him. You know, I don't think he's ever screwed anybody over. He definitely should get a lawyer and sue Deontay Wilder's pants off, you know, for defamation and just put him through the process, you know. Just, you know, you don't play with people's names, especially when it comes to things like that. I think Deontay Wilder has come off like a total bozo. And now he's training with a friend. Basically, they're running these videos on Instagram of them playing patty cake. Malik Scott, and somehow it's supposed to give us some sort of gauge on his chance of beating Tyson Fury. I hope Mark Breland gets himself a lawyer and sues Deontay Wilder for defamation and everything under the sun. Very bad things. And aside from that, he's potentially endangering Mark Breland's future because he's a trainer. You know, if I hear this, you know, what young fighter is going to want to mess with Mark Breland? Mark has a very good case.
Yeah, without a doubt, especially, you know, Deontay has got a platform to speak on. How can I put this? You know, Breland was an individual unlike anybody else. They had annuities set up. Shelly Finkel set up annuities. Shelly Finkel, the manager, maybe the greatest manager of all time as far as getting his fighters money. But he set up these annuities for Mark Breland, Terrell Biggs, Evander Holyfield, Pernell Whitaker. And that entire team, and they all broke into their annuities except Mark Breland. I think Mark was going to get either 50 grand or 100 grand a year for life when he turned 50, but they all broke into it, much like Roberto Duran did when Carlos Ileta set up an annuity for him. They can't keep it.
That shows you Mark's brains.
Maturity.
It's just evil to mess with somebody's gross. Future gross, potential gross earnings. It's not cool. I think that Deontay Wilder is as smart as a box of rocks, and he probably will have his last stand on July 24th.
Okay. Alex Ariza is going to be on the show tomorrow. What should I ask? What should I ask Mr. Alex Ariza? Double A, I call him.
Alex Ariza. Well, I'll tell you what. Very few people have had the career he's had. I mean, he worked with Manny Pacquiao. He worked with Floyd Mayweather. I believe he also worked with...
Oscar?
No, Diego Corrales. I mean, he's been around some of the biggest names in the sport and in MMA. He was Orlovsky, the heavyweight. He also worked with him. he's had a quite a run, you know, and he's a very good interview. I think you guys are going to hit it off.
You know,
good guy, Alex.
You brought up Diego Corrales. You know, he and I had a hot and cold relationship. I was with him as an amateur, and then he became champion. He threw his wife down a flight of stairs and drug her back up the stairs by her hair. So we had issues over that. He went to jail for it, and then he got out. And of course, the ill fated comeback. You know, the bottom line is he was just a mess. There was no doubt about it. But when he died on that motorcycle in Las Vegas, Gary Shaw and somebody else told me, Gary Shaw was the promoter, but somebody else told me they thought it was suicide, that he drove into the intersection on purpose.
That's not the first time I've heard that either. You know, he went head first into a truck, was it?
Something like that.
Yeah.
With no helmet on.
No helmet on. He was an interesting cat. You know, I've heard some stories about him also. Very ornery when he was not training, smoked cigarettes, drank beer. You know, he's just a strange dude. And it's funny because he had this frail built, very soft voice, but inside the ring, a vicious puncher, you know.
You know, he and I had some moments when we were like loving each other and hating each other. And at the end of the day, I just sort of felt bad for him because I thought that the fight with Jose Luis Castillo did so much to him as far as residual damage was concerned that he can never, ever return. Anyway, I wish you the very best. You are the man, Socrates Palmer. Say hello to the entire family, of course. We wish you guys the best, man. Stay tight in New York City.
Love you, brother. Enjoy the rest of your weekend.
You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Of course, this is the Saturday edition, Saturday, 11 a.m. Pacific time. Next up, we'll go into Junaro Hernandez in depth and talk about the guy that was Chicanito. He was everybody's friend. He just was. I mean, nobody I know, even the guys that fought him liked him. I mean, how can you have that? This is the world of professional boxing. Guys that fought him, that he beat, liked him. That's how good a class act that Junaro was. Next up, Rudy Hernandez on WBC Boxing TV.